Any area of your life that the kingdom does not have the final word, you don't have abundance. Today, I want to just share a little bit about something that you're passionate, which is Jesus.
Ooh, yeah.
And when we think about Jesus, you know, somebody, I mean, this we're living days where people are trying to redefine things, yeah. Right? So they're going to say, listen, there's truths that have been out there for 2,000 years, but let me get a shot at redefining that truth.
Right.
And people are trying to redefine Jesus and what Jesus is all about. So if you really want to get the gist of what Jesus is all about, you got to go to Mark 1, verse 15, right? So 1:15 is the summary of Jesus' message. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to earth for Mark 1:15. And I want to just break it down real quick as an intro, and then we're going to go into the teaching of the kingdom of God and the ministry of Jesus and how you and I are tied into this picture. Is that okay?
Yes.
So if you look at Mark 1:15, Jesus says, can I have you read that out for me?
And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.
So he says four things there. First thing that Jesus says is the time is fulfilled, right? So there's four structures to the message of Jesus. This will give you good TikTok videos right there. Take it down. Get the credit. I stole it from somebody. So you go ahead and get it. First thing he says is the time is fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right? Which means for something to be fulfilled, it has to be prior. It has to be promised.
Yeah.
So somebody promised something and Jesus says, hey, I am the fulfillment of that promise. Right? Isaiah had promised the Messiah is coming. Jeremiah had promised. David had promised. All the prophets, the minor prophets, were pointing towards a messianic era. So Jesus says, hey guys, guess what? I am the promise. The time is fulfilled. The Torah that you guys been reading, that, you know, all your grandparents, all your daddies, all your uncles read, me. It's me. Now you're going to understand why they got offended. Because this is like my family tradition. This is my roots. This is my ethnicity. Bro, this is like, this matters to my family. And you're telling me that you are the fulfillment of everything that my forefathers have sacrificed for? He says, yeah, I am. But you work with wood. You don't look the type. I'm the fulfillment. So, I mean, he's breaking boxes right there, right? So he says, I am, the time has come. Now, the second statement he says is?
Repent and believe in the gospel.
No, before.
Where?
The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Wow.
Right? So that's the second. So I said number one, now is number two. The kingdom of God is at hand. What is he saying? If I am the Messiah, now you got to check this out. Messiah is a loaded term. It's actually like a military term. In their minds, it was the Messiah will come. He needs to bring the Messianic age. When the Messiah comes and brings the Messianic age, you can't have Roman Empire with Messianic age. That's what they've studied their whole lives. So they're saying, listen, you've been oppressing me, Romans. You're the oppressor. I am the oppressed. You think this critical race theory is something new? I mean, this is back in the day, bro. He said, hey, I am oppressed. So he says, the time is fulfilled. All right, well, if you're saying the time is fulfilled, where's your army? If you're saying the time is fulfilled, so you got to be the Messiah. The Messiah needs to bring in an age. We have something that's blocking your age, and you need to override their force with your power. Where's your power?
Come on.
You getting this?
Yes.
And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Listen, the kingdom is here. And they're saying, where is the kingdom?
Wow.
All I see is Roman centurions. And they got their sandals down our throats. I don't see the kingdom. He said, no, no, no. The kingdom is here.
Wow.
I mean, if you thought it was bad, imagine if John the Baptist wasn't even around. Because John the Baptist was the one saying, hey, guys, you better repent. The kingdom is coming. You better repent. The kingdom is coming. What was John the Baptist saying? You guys have an expectation of a physical military kingdom coming. But you guys, you got to check yourself, because if you don't renew your mind, repent. It'll pass in front of you. You won't even see it. It'll just be, this dude from Nazareth.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, this guy can't be the Messiah. Yeah, because you didn't do your homework of repenting.
Oh, man.
The problem is not Jesus, is your mind doesn't interpret Jesus.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, you know. People are looking at what's going on in the world and say, look at the evil. You got to interpret it. If you have a renewed mind, you will see God's fingerprints and what he's doing across the globe. So you got to do your homework. You got to repent. So Jesus is at a point where he's saying, listen, I'm the fulfillment. The kingdom is here. They're like, what kingdom? And he says, you can't see it, can you? No. Repent. See, that's the third one.
Wow.
You see, the third statement of Jesus is repent.
Wow.
And then he says, believe. That's the fourth one. Why do you need to repent? Because you can't believe something that you can't really see for what it is. So he's saying, I want you to really see what I'm bringing here. He says, I'm bringing you a kingdom, and this kingdom is not of this world.
Yeah.
My kingdom, I don't come shooting people. I don't cut people like the Romans do. That's not me. I'm coming in a different way. See, this is the thing. If we don't catch this metanoia message, what is metanoia? If you want to take notes, just repent means metanoia. Right? That's the original word. You take it to the original Greek, metanoia is repent. And if you think noia, N-O-I-A, that's where you come with the word knowledge. Right?
Yeah.
Meta is changing. Your mind has to be renewing, changing. That's a renewed mindset. That's Romans 12:2. Right? Romans 12:2. See, this is the thing. Let me pause real quick. Pause it right there. Open up another page. You got to understand something. You can repent and be saved in one event. Like you preach out in the streets, in the corner. I mean, you're doing a video. Somebody's watching. You're going to church. You bring a friend to church. He hears a message. And there's this one event that the preacher says, you're ready to give everything up and just follow Jesus. And the guy says, I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for Jesus. I'm going to repent of my ways. I'm going to go. So he comes up and he kneels and he says a word and he says a prayer. And what happens? The word of God says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be
saved.
Right. There was repentance of an event. So right there, he gets what? Eternal life, right?
Wow.
How do you get life in abundance, though? That's two different things. John 10 says, I came to give you life and life in abundance. You receive life by faith, but you continue to get abundant life as you renew your mind. Right? How do I know if I have life in abundance? Take your finances. If you have scarcity in your finances, it's because you got to get the mindset of the kingdom over money. Right? Any area of your life that the kingdom does not have the final word, you don't have abundance. Let me say that again. Any area of your life where the kingdom does not have the final word, you don't have abundance. Your relationships, your money, your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health, your crisis with God. I mean, your family issues, your daddy issues, anything that doesn't have the word of God as the final authority. Yeah, you know, but I mean, my philosophy professor said this. Yeah. Yeah, you know, but my doctor said this. Yeah. Well, you know, my auntie, she said that. I get it. But does the word have the final word? Wherever the word has the final word and you really, 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 really believe it, that's the key to having a life in abundance. You get that? So you can repent as an event for salvation, but you need to repent as a lifestyle for abundant life. Right? If you want to see the kingdom of God coming to earth in your life, every day repent. What does the word say about me? What does the word say about the situation? What does the word say about government? What does the word say about money? What does the word say about education? What does the word say about arts entertainment? What does the word say about communication? Right? So, I mean, we're jumping on stuff that we don't even know what the word of God says about government. I mean, I dare you to find a verse in the Bible that says that the government needs to take care of education. Wow. I'll bet you money, $100. Bring me a verse that says the government needs to take care of education. You'll find that the family needs to take care of education.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Find me a verse in the Bible that says that the government needs to take care of the poor.
Come on.
Wow. So are you Christian? But you're saying yes and amen to a bunch of stuff that doesn't align with your absolute truth. Because you haven't done the homework of metanoia. Right? So who needs to take care of the poor, biblically speaking? Say with me, the church. My kids are my responsibility. I need to educate my kids. So we're fighting fights. It's like, it's not even for you to fight. If you did your homework, we wouldn't even be in this playing field. So we need to really get on the metanoia lifestyle, right? And then he says, believe. When he says believe, he's like, now you can come in, right? Because see, this is the problem. Like I said, I'm Japanese Brazilian. So I grew up in Brazil, and I grew up in that, I was born and grew up in the 80s where the evangelical or the Protestant population of Brazil was maybe 10 or 11% of the whole population. Today, Brazil has 210 million people. I'm just going to use my nation as an example. 210 million people. America has 380 million, I believe. So 210 million people, 10% Protestant. Today, as I speak with you, 25 years later, or 30 years later, we're looking at 33% evangelical and Protestant.
Wow.
I'll tell you what though, we had better education when I was a child. It was safer when I was a child. It was less corrupt when I was a child. Brazil was a better country, economically speaking, when I was a child. Why? Because getting people, getting big churches doesn't disciple a nation. Mega churches have never discipled a nation, and they will never disciple a nation. It's not about, I want to get a bunch of people saved. Jesus never told you to get people saved. Jesus told you to make disciples. So it's not about getting them to the altar. What do you do after they get to the altar? All right, let's talk about vaccine. I'm going to go for all the buttons. No, just playing. What is a vaccine? A vaccine, you inject somebody with the virus that will create the antivirus for when the virus tries to come in again, it can't get in, right?
Right.
Don't use the gospel as a vaccine. So we're giving them like a, you know, this superficial gospel, be like, yo, get saved, man. That's the thing to do. You got to get saved and get it. Bro, that wasn't the message that Jesus preached. You're vaccinating them against the gospel of the kingdom. Because all you think about is gospel of salvation.
Go there.
So think about this. How dare you, besides John 3, which was a private setting, John 3, private setting between Jesus and old Nicodemus. Where else will you find Jesus saying publicly, y'all got to get saved? Find me a verse where Jesus says publicly, you guys got to get born again. See, that's your issue. No. The only thing Jesus preached publicly was the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. He said, I'm bringing the kingdom. Hey, it's about the gospel of the kingdom. You want into the kingdom? You got to get saved. But the issue is not really, the focus is not getting saved. The focus is living the kingdom on earth. But for you to get into the kingdom, you got to get saved.
Yeah. That's
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But we preach it. Hey. Finish line, the altar. Repeat after me a prayer. Finish line, come. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. And then, you finish? Hey, drink this. Yeah, you're saved. You got a spot in heaven. All right, pastor, I'm a local pastor. What do I do here? What do I do? I'm 23. See, this is the thing. This is tragic. I'll tell you what's tragic for Christian youth. Tragic is for you to reach. See, I asked this guy one time. I said, well, I mean, what's your dream? My dream is revival. I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, what do you mean that? I just, my life is to live to see a revival. I'm like, okay, cool. That's good. And I said, how old are you? He's like, I'm 18. I'm like, all right, what if you really fast, you pray, you consecrate yourself, you're just hungry, and you reach revival at 30. Oh, pastor, let me ask you, what do you do for the rest of your life? Jesus. Tragic. See, if we really believe that all we need to do is get saved, I'll tell you the best thing that we could have done as pastors, get people to the altar, get them saved, take them to the back, guys with machine guns, go to heaven. Why are you paying taxes, bro? Why are you stuck in traffic? Why are you having to go on and you know, have broken relationships over politics on Instagram? You don't need that drama in your life. Just get to heaven, bro. Get saved and find a way to get out of this world. Be an escapist. See, that's the thing. We're preaching a gospel that's conditioning people to become escapists when God says, occupy till I come back. Yeah. Jesus said, I need you to occupy till I come back.
Come on.
So you need to have a theology more than just get them to the altar.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow. All right, Taylor, so what do I do with my life? I come to Jesus and I bring other people to Jesus. That's just the tip of the iceberg. He wants you to come to Jesus. He wants you to bring other people to Jesus, but he wants you to engage in the process of making disciples of people and also making disciples of nations.
Wow.
Why is it that we need to make disciples of nations? Because he is worthy of his reward.
Yes.
What's his reward? He wants to come and rule and reign with you over nations. That physical man coming back in Jerusalem with you, he's going to rule and reign over this earth. That's why you need to take care of this environment, because it's this earth.
Yeah.
That's why you need to get involved with social justice, because it's this earth. That's why you can't leave any room for racism, because it's this world. That's why we fight for every child, because it's this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my backyard. I'm not going to get out of this world. We're going to rule and reign with him here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why we take care of this. This is our backyard. We take care. This is our home. We're going to rule and reign with him here. So when we think about what did Jesus say, he says, you know, the kingdom of God is here. And people are saying, I don't see the kingdom of God, because they had a mentality of it's got to be a military force. So he says, okay, bring the lame, bring the blind. How many times in the Bible you see people get healed and then Jesus says, this is the kingdom. So one of my mentors is a man called Randy Clark. And I used to travel with Randy. And one time, I just kind of praying for people. And people, you know, Randy has a healing evangelism anointing. And man, I would see people get healed. And one time I went to this crisis. We got into the same van or bus, whatever it was. We're going away from this healing crusade. I mean, thousands of people were healed that night. And he looked at me, he's like, what's going on? Because he knew I was going through my own crisis. And I said, Randy, sorry, I got to just tell you. He's like, yeah, please. I said, this is what I'm thinking. We just prayed for that old lady. She's 80-some years old. She was blind. This old lady, 80-some years old, blind. Prayed for her. She saw for the first time in maybe 30 years, 40 years. And when she saw it, she was so emotional, she actually fainted. People are like, oh, she's under the power. No, she's not under power. She's fainted. Because she hasn't seen in 30, 40 years.
Wow.
But then this thought occurred in my mind. All right, she gets healed. But maybe she's so old, she'll die like in 5 years. Have you realized that every person that Jesus healed died? Every person that Jesus healed died. I mean, you don't hear the blind Bartimaeus guy talking or going and speaking in conferences. He's dead. Right? So why does Jesus heal if they die? Why do we heal if they die? Because healing is not just an event. So Jesus was healing, yes, because people were suffering. Jesus was healing because, yes, they were oppressed by sickness and disease. But he's saying, let me meet your need right now. But as I meet your need, one, healing is the vehicle of something that will never die, which is love. Wow. Right? That's why don't you dare pray for people if you don't have the heart of Jesus for that person. Just because you want another testimony. What is it? The Healing Olympics? So you pray for healing because as you pray for healing, you're taking up territory. That's it. As I heal somebody, as I cast out a demon, that's why Jesus would cast out a demon and say, hey, right here, kingdom of God. What he's saying, I have the kingdom I'm bringing. As I heal, boom, I take in space. As I cast out a demon, I take more space. Bro, it's about occupying space. That's what we're doing here. You're coming in a team, we're trying to occupy their court. Oh, Teo, but I'm not that kind of militant guy. Oh, too bad, you signed up for a war. That's just what it is. Sorry. And whether you like it or not, you're going to be attacked because you're in a war. So expect attacks. We don't fight like they fight, but it is war. And so as we see Jesus teaching, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. I just got to get into the scripture real quick. If you could just open with me, Matthew 16. You guys doing good?
Yeah.
Matthew 16. I have this verse in Portuguese, so you won't understand. I need somebody with an English Bible here. Verse 15 through 19. Can somebody read it out loud for me?
I have it.
Can you?
15 through 19. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound on in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loose in heaven.
Thank you. So people are trying to figure out Jesus. Can I just say something? You will be better off for the kingdom if you're unlabelable. Right? Let me say this again. You'll be better off for the kingdom if you're unlabelable. Teo, what are you? Japanese? No, I'm not Japanese. Are you Brazilian? No, I'm not Brazilian. I got a Hawaiian soul, man. Are you Hawaiian? No, I'm not Hawaiian. So how do you speak English like that? I was educated in America. So you're American, you got a green card? Nope, rejected a green card. See, the thing is, we're so quick to try to fit in a box that you limit your influence. So if you are, but Teo, I didn't grow up like you. I'm not biracial. I didn't grow up in that context, the social context you grew up. But you can always meet somebody that's different. You can always eat another different food. You can always get your money and travel somewhere else. You can always try to study something besides what you've been studying. Expand yourself so that you become unlabelable, because unlabelable people could actually cause damage in hell, because the devil's trying to put you in a box. He says, you know what? This is what you got to do. You're black, you got to fight for this agenda. You are Hispanic, you got to fight for this agenda. You're Asian, you fight for this agenda. You're white, you stay scared there in your corner. Become unlabelable. Oh, you go with math, you got to go finance. You go with languages, you got to do missions. Out in Nepal, out in the... Bro, become unlabelable. Break out the box. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to eat sushi with my pizza. Wow. Become unlabable. That makes you available for kingdom work. Does that make sense? Yeah. Don't allow boxes to, this is nothing to do with the Bible. This is just a sociology tip, all right? All right, going back to what we were talking about. People didn't know how to figure Jesus out. They're like, yeah, maybe he's like Jeremiah. No. Look at his miracles. He's gotta be like Elijah. No, check him out. Is he like a John the Baptist 2.0? I mean, they're like trying to figure him out. And Jesus says, what do you say I am? You've been walking with me. We've been kicking it for 3 years. What do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
That's it.
And when he gets that, he says, hey, Simon. Actually, you're not even going to be Simon anymore. I mean, this revelation, you can't be Simon. You got to be Petrus. That's what you got to be. With that kind of truth in you, you got to be some Petrus, which is rock. This is the foundation of what I'm going to build. What is he going to build? My church. I will build upon this foundation of this truth. I am the Christ, the Messiah. I am the fulfillment. I am the one that brought the kingdom. I will build upon that truth, my church. So let me ask you again, whose church is it? It's not Bishop's church. It's not Apostle's church. It's not Pastor's church. It's not Brother So-and-so's church. It's Jesus' church. Who's going to build the church?
Jesus.
It's not going to be your social media that's going to build the church. Your YouTube channel is not going to build the church. Your treasure hunt's not going to build the church. He says, I will build my church. All right, Jesus, so if the church is yours and building the church is your responsibility, what do I got left? He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom.
Wow.
What is he saying? You worry about my kingdom, I worry about my church. You get involved in building the kingdom, I will build my church. See, the problem is when kingdom people want to do things they're not supposed to be doing. Oh, my church. Bro, you are stuck in your own little evangelical bubble, my church, and there's fires out there. You don't care about the suffering out there. You should be doing stuff in your jurisdiction and let him do his stuff in his jurisdiction. You know what I'm saying? So he's saying, this is my church. I build my church. So Taya, what do I do with the rest of my life now that I'm on fire for Jesus? You build kingdom. How do I build kingdom? Because he gave me the keys. So if you're taking notes real quick, keys. What do keys mean in the Bible? Keys mean influence. Keys mean access. Keys mean revelation. Keys mean authority. That's what keys are. So you have the authority of the kingdom. How do you have the authority of the kingdom? You say, hey, be healed. The kingdom is here. Under what authority? Okay, I get it. I'm not using kingdom keys. Be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, now he's got to go.
Come on. That's it. That's it.
It's the authority of the kingdom. That's what you got. Keys of the kingdom. I'm going to come in and I'm going to influence with the influence of the kingdom. Like leaven influences dough. Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Teo, but I'm the minority there. Nobody believes what I believe. When has leaven become the majority in a bread?
Wow.
Hey, come on.
Jesus.
If you're not supposed to be the, you are supposed to be the minority. That's why he says kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's small. But if you go through the process of dying, you'll become big. So Jesus is calling you and he's saying, listen, Peter or Petros, you will be the foundation of my church. I build my church, but I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. They are not the keys to the kingdom, guys. You don't need keys to get into the kingdom. Can you hold this real quick? Thank you. You don't need keys to get into the kingdom. John 10, I am the door. You come in.
Wow.
The door is open for you. All you got to do is come in. You don't need, I got to figure this thing out. I got to, you know, try to. No. You just go in. Now, once you go in, so think about a mansion. The kingdom of God is like a mansion. There's a big red door in the front of the mansion. You want to get into that mansion? Yes. Go through that door. His name is Jesus Christ. As you go into that door or through that door, you are becoming a new creation. You are being saved. There is a new birth happening to you. Salvation. Amen?
Amen.
But now that you're in, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be hanging out in the doorway? Because our messages sound like we're just hanging out in the doorway. Hey, yo, the party. Hey, the party's on the in the penthouse, but you're there with the doorman. Bro, you're in the door, man. Don't block the door. If you don't go up to the penthouse and do what you got to do, you're blocking the door. Other people are trying to get in. They can't get in. Because this doesn't look inviting when you're blocking the door. Don't block the door. How do we block the door when all we talk about, get saved or burn hell, get saved or burn hell. You're blocking the door. Get out of the door. Yeah. Go in. Yeah. All right, now that I'm in, what do? You got to go find Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to give you some keys, and he's going to ask you, what do you want? I want that key for emotional health. All right, so you go up 3 flights of stairs, make a left. There's a room. There's a label on it. It says emotional health. This is the key. Go. You get it?
Yeah.
Don't have a vision for your life. Just be hanging out with the doorman there. There's a mansion. There's a building. There's a party in the penthouse. I mean, get up there. Don't just be content with having life. Have life in abundance. How do I get there, Teo? Metanoia. Repentance.
Come on.
Romans 12:2, real quick. So Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed. Somebody got it? Verse 2.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Okay, so how many of you guys want to do God's perfect will?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Teo, this is what I get asked all the time. Hey, man. What does God want from me, man? I want to serve Jesus, man. What do I need to do to serve Jesus? What is God's will for my life? How do you get to know God's will for your life? If you're engaged in a process of metanoia, of renewal of your mind, the word, the original Greek in Romans 12:2 is metanoia. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Right? So this is what happens. This guy came to me, right? Like I told you, a pastor at church. So this guy comes up to me and he says, he's probably in his early 20s and he had just maybe saved 4 months. He says, hey, pastor, I got to talk to you. After service, we'll talk real quick. Finish service, pull him to the side, said, what's happening? He says, I need to confess. I'm like, what do you need to confess? I'm addicted to porn. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have to work on that. Say, I want to get rid of this in my life. I'm like, okay, we're going to work on this. So I prayed with him. I heard him out. I said, you know what? Let us put these accountability things around you. Let's kind of walk this path together. He's like, okay, all right, got it. And I said, listen, man, we're going to overcome this. He says, I know, all right. So he goes his way. Maybe a month later, I see him at the end of services. He's like, I'm like, yeah, come over here. We finished service. I'm like, what's good, man? He's like, pastor, I was doing good, and I fell again. And I just can't get out. I said, it's okay. I mean, you have repentance in your heart. I mean, come on, pray with me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to stick to this plan. We're going to overcome this. I'm like, okay, pastor. So he goes his way. 2 months later, I see him, same story. Comes, he says, pastor, I fell again. Now, this time, he's really distraught. This time, he's weeping, I mean, in a way that he wasn't weeping before. And then he says, after I say everything that I said, which was what I said the 2 times before, he says, I don't think I'm saved. So why do you think you're saved? Pastor, if I can't get rid of this sin, and it's not like he wasn't trying. He really was. It's not like he doesn't really, you know, he's like trying to be cute and say, I want to live a pure life. No, he really wanted to live a pure life. And he's weeping and he's distraught. And I'm like, I said, what do you mean you're not saved? I'm, Pastor, I don't know if this thing is real. I'm not. And right there, I felt the Lord say, just ask him when he got started with porn. Like, when did you begin dealing with this kind of crap? And he said, 12 years old. I said, all right, so you're 22 now, right? For 10 years, you've been addicted to porn. I'm like, yeah. All right, so when did you get saved? 8 months ago? I'll say, okay, so you were 21 when you got saved. All right, so from 12 years old till you were 21, that's 9 years, you've been dealing with this. He's like, yeah.